Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Easy for me to say. My name is Brian Beckner, episode number 485 of the show. We very much appreciate you listening. We would like you to become our friend, as many have prior to you. So feel free to give us a call, 949-464-TBLS-8257. Somebody called me today. I won't say whom. And I said, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, stop talking. 949-464-TBLS. Like, this is much better. People will want to weigh in on what you have to say. So maybe that person called, and maybe you could be that person. 949-464-TBLS-8257. Also, send us an email. Some good emails this week. Mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Send us an email there. We'll read it here on the show. If you're not gross. Also, you can subscribe. All the bonus content. There's going to be a lot of extra shit that we talk about this week, including the most Italian death of all time. That happened this week. And also, a woman in Texas was simultaneously attacked by a snake and a hawk. And look, what are the odds of that? In Texas, probably pretty common. We could talk about it. I don't know. If you want to hear it, though, you got to subscribe. Click the link in the show notes. It's $5 a month. It's $55 a year. Get a month for free, or maybe two. Who knows? I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
I had a much, much better time than I thought at the 2-day Metallica concert. It was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was thinking, 2 days, a lot. Like, they have a lot of songs.
Yeah, they do.
And they only played each night. They only played like 3 new songs like it was all shit that like went from Black Album to earlier.
Yeah. Did they play Creeping Death?
Yes.
Oh, fucking.
They played Creeping Death. They played fucking Whiplash.
Yeah.
They played
classic.
You know, yes. all the
Fight
the,
Fire
the,
with
seek
Fire.
And, yes. Seek and Destroy, Fight
Battery.
Fire with Fire.
Yeah.
Battery. Yeah. They might not have played that.
There
was one song like that. I think it might have been Battery. I was like, hey, why didn't they play that?
Yes.
And my son was like, yeah, that's like really hard to play live. So like that's one that they don't always play.
Yeah. Well, Lars has a hard time keeping up.
But it was like legit fun.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like the one thing that I was not a massive fan of is looking at the crowd.
Well, I had to be an older crowd other than your son, right?
There were a few people like my son.
Yeah.
Kids that play,
right,
you know, that kind of guitar.
Yes.
But then everyone else, like I was the youngest person.
Yeah.
It was fucking gross.
Yeah.
The crowd.
Yeah. I'm looking right here. It's coming up in a couple weeks here at SoFi Stadium where the Rams play.
It was like a really fun, fun. Like you're just like, oh shit, they're gonna go from Whiplash to For Whom the Bell Tolls to start the concert.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking great.
Fuck
it was
great. Yeah.
It was great.
Okay. Now I'm looking. So it looks like I might not have to buy the whole, it is a 2-day ticket.
No, but you can, I know you can buy individually, like when it comes. And then the second day was probably the more hits that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking right now. Look, this might be something I do. This might be something I go check out. 'Cause I love Metallica. Exciting day. Big day for us here on the show. Now, normally we record on Monday nights for the most part, but last night Ed had a previous engagement, so we're recording one day late, and that actually works out. So today is August 8th, which is the 19th anniversary of a very...
Wait. Let me think.
Okay. All right.
19 years ago was the year 04.
Yeah. 2004.
I can't think of anything that happened in 04.
You'll know. As soon
we
as...
were still in the throes of like people a little too patriotic after 9/11. Yeah,
freedom fries. Like,
we might have still had freedom fries on some menus by then. Still,
yeah. I remember it was about maybe 4 days after 9/11, the 9/11, and I went into the bagel shop down the street from my house. And I got a coffee, and there was a guy, there's two people in front of me, and it must have been a while after, because this is, we quickly invaded Iraq, but it was after that. And so I think that was like, you know, the next year. And there was two people in front of me, and one guy goes, yeah, give me a large French roast and bagel. And then he gets out of the way. And then the guy behind him comes up, and he's like, I'll take a large freedom roast.
Oh no.
Yeah, and I was like, oh man, this is gonna last a while. So yeah, this is 2004.
I can't think of what happened.
You look, nothing happens in the summer, right? August 8th, 2004. A tour bus belonging to the Dave Matthews Band dumped an estimated 800 pounds of human waste from the bus's black water tank through the Kinzie Street Bridge in Chicago onto a passenger.
That's that bus's 9/11.
Yes.
The boat's
9/11. In Chicago onto a passenger sightseeing boat sailing in the Chicago River below.
Disgusting.
As part of a 2005 legal settlement. And hold on, I'm going to say it right now reading this. Dave Matthews is a huge piece of shit.
I'll say it right now.
Yeah.
If they had speakers playing his music, that would be more offensive than shit pouring out. If it was noise pollution, I would have a bigger issue.
As part of a 2005 legal settlement, so let's get the timeline right here. So Dave Matthews, or the Dave Matthews LLC, moves quickly to wrap this up. Immediately, the next year, quickly, the band agreed to pay $200,000 to environmental protection and other projects.
Well, how about to the boat?
Yeah, yeah. How about the people that got shit on? That got Dave Matthews shit on them. And I got another question. I happen to know that tour bus etiquette is you don't shit on the bus. You do that. Right. You do that when you stop,
hotel.
Or at the hotel, at the McDonald's, at the Buc-ee's, the fucking. Trying to think of a name of a truck stop.
Dave Matthews Band definitely eats at Shoney's Pizza or something.
Flying J. That's a truck stop chain. You go to one of those. Now, if you have
the place with the really gross. Fondue, the chocolate lava.
Oh, Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. That seems like a Dave Matthews spot.
So that might have been why they were shitting so much. But it's well known that if you got to take a crap on the tour bus, you take a hefty Glad bag in there with you, and you put that inside the toilet, and then you let it go into the bag, and then you tie the bag off, and you leave it in the stall, and then when you get to a truck stop or whatever, you take it out and throw it in the trash. You don't use the waste tank. Now, I'm sure Dave Matthews, he had a higher end bus. So he might have had the one that could handle the waste, but you just jettison that off a bridge?
You're talking about the Chicago River.
No.
It's not like he's on a highway in the middle of nowhere. The Chicago River, there's like people there everywhere.
There was a boat. There's a sightseeing boat.
Yeah. I've taken the boat tour of Chicago, the architecture tour. It's great.
Gorgeous. The Cerbo's on that. The Dave Matthews Band had booked rooms at the Peninsula Hotel, high end, for a two-night show at the Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin. The incident occurred between the first and second night of the concert. So they were already in town. How much shitting did they do between night one and night two?
Just disgusting.
Stefan Wohl drove the bus of the band's violinist Boyd Tinsley, who I believe has passed on. During warm months, the Chicago... Oh, it's the architectural tour, Ed. The Chicago Architecture Center offers a boat tour of the buildings.
You and I could have been on that boat.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I took the boat tour around this time.
It was in that ballpark.
Yes.
I did as well.
Yes.
Fucking disgusting. Can you imagine just being on that boat tour and seeing a Dave Matthews tour bus? Yes. That would ruin the tour in itself.
Especially if it were playing Dave Matthews music at the same time. Dave Matthews excrement, Dave Matthews bus, and then also Dave Matthews other excrement, his music, all at the same time.
Yeah. His punishment should have been just chain him to a chair and make him listen to Ants Marching 300 yes. times in a row.
During warm months, the Chicago Architecture Center offers a boat tour of the buildings. The boats have open roof seating where passengers sit during the tour. Also, that's where you want to be, because then you can see the buildings on both sides of the boat. You want to be on top.
Yes. The only people who aren't on top are the olds who just don't have the energy for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're just hanging out. And even though it's summer, they get a chill. So they got to be in the cabin.
Yeah.
Wohl was alone in Tinsley's bus and driving to a downtown hotel when he emptied the bus's black water tank as it crossed the metal grates of the Kinzie Street Bridge. Now, I feel like this is Dave Matthews LLC trying to distance themselves. I would say this guy Wohl is a scapegoat.
Yeah.
I feel more like it was like the manager was like, hey, Boyd went to Giordano's last night. He went to Gino's East, and he crushed out fucking whole works pie.
What is it, Lou Malnati?
Yeah, Lou. That's another one. Yeah, Lou Malnati.
deep dish.
Yes.
From Lou Malnati.
He went. He went Dave, the full boat. He went a little heavy.
Are you calling the code red? Are you doing it?
We got to do something. Look, Stefan. While the band's on stage. Run the bus over to that river over there and dump all Boyd's shit in the river and try not to hit any boats.
You know all those lovely people who just want to check out architecture and the Goose Island?
Yes, yeah, the brewery.
Why don't we drop our excrement on them and then only have to pay $200,000 to the EPA, not even the people.
Well, listen to this, Ed. Passenger boat Chicago's Little Lady was hosting the 1 p.m. Chicago Architecture Foundation tour. Look, I definitely was on the 1 p.m. because I was hungover. I wasn't getting on the 10 a.m.
You don't want the early one. You don't want the late one because you want to
shit to
have
do.
Your night.
Yes. Of the Chicago River. While passing under the bridge, the boat received the full contents of the tank on the seats of its open roof terrace.
Disgusting.
Roughly two-thirds of the 120 passengers aboard were soaked.
Oh God. And you just jump Mormon in the river, right? Yeah, you course. Just jump yes, in.
It's cleaner. The boat immediately returned to its dock where all passengers were issued refunds. Five passengers went to Northwestern Memorial Hospital for testing. According to the Illinois Attorney General, passengers aboard included persons with disabilities, elderly, a pregnant woman.
Oh, my God. The baby.
Yes. A small child.
Poor baby.
And an infant.
I think everybody should have been recommended to go to the hospital and be like, please, just tell me, did I come down with a case of crash into me?
The liquid waste was brownish yellow in color and had a foul, offensive odor. The liquid human waste went into passengers' eyes, mouths, hair, and onto clothing and personal belongings, many of which were soaked.
Their ears probably had to hear crush.
Yes, this is.
This is an assault.
Look, these people remember this day. They should do a documentary. We should get all these people together.
People talking about cancel culture. Like, why hasn't he been canceled? Because he might not be like the hottest act in the world, but I still see it like, Dave Matthews is still performing here.
He's big time. He is big time. He should have. Look, these people were owed. Like, all the money went to environmental charities. What about the people that got excrement in their mouths? Because that happened.
I am all for environment getting money.
Of course.
But these people deserved five times what the environment got.
Human suffering 19 years ago today, August 8th, 2004, a day that will live in infamy
in
the Chicagoland area.
Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity.
One more thing, Ed, and I heard something today, and I just I had a hard time with it. Maybe this isn't as shocking to some. Are you familiar with the musical artist? And everyone's familiar with him. I can't say I know his music. I'm sure if you played one of his songs, I'd be like, oh, I've heard that. He seems like a nice guy. Post Malone. Are you familiar with Post Malone?
Yes. Ed? Not like very, sure. But yes, I'm
sure. I got a question for you. And I can't imagine, maybe I'm wrong, I can't imagine you're so much a fan that you would have this information handy to you, but I heard it today and I thought it might be something that would interest you. How fucking old do you think Post Malone is?
So I feel like he's, you know, like as you get older, there's like time just starts flying by. Like, I feel like he's been famous for like almost 10 years now.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around a while. That's true.
And so he's got like a couple questionable face tattoos.
Quite a few.
He's got that kind of weird hair that's not working for him.
It really isn't. I don't know what's going on there. He's got a kind of a scraggly beard, which I kind of have right now. I need to shave. I just can't seem to get it going. Yeah, he has under his eyes. Under one eye, it says always, and under the other eye, it says tired.
So, yeah. Well, he looks it.
He looks pretty tired. Yeah.
So I'm going to say, like, he looks worse than this, but sure. I'm going to say, based on fame and this and that, he's 36 or 7.
Yeah, I was kind of with you there. I was thinking 36, 37, 38.
Like, he's been around for much longer than you think. Like, it's not like he got famous last year. He's been around.
He's been around. Ed, Austin Richard Post, born July 4, 1995. The man celebrated his 28th birthday.
He just turned 28.
Yes, he just turned 28. 28! And he seems like a good guy, but the whole always tired thing, I mean, if you had said he was 42, I'd be like, oh yeah, I could see that. 42.
Oh, I'm looking at famous July 4th birthdays. I mean, you have garbage people like Calvin Coolidge, the great Bill Withers.
Oh, yes.
Geraldo Rivera. Ooh. Not a good one.
Well, you saved him from having his pizza sullied that one time.
George Steinbrenner. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I saved him.
Yes. Geraldo Rivera. Favorite son of New Jersey, Geraldo Rivera.
From a guy named Dave, who you would not want to ingest his spit.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, didn't he have Nazi leanings?
His brother was a Nazi, I believe. His brother spray painted something on a synagogue.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's Gina Lola Brigida.
Oh, we talked about her.
Fred Flintstone's paramour, right?
Yeah, she was a real piece.
Yeah. But Post Malone, I can't believe that.
I know. 28 years old. Happy for him. Happy birthday, buddy. Let's
28. Ed, yeah, those are some bad tats.
They really are. Let's on a lighter note. Let's talk about some people that will not be celebrating any birthdays soon because they're of course
they've had their final birthdays.
They've died. Oh wait, nope.
Just tell us who is dead now. Just tell us who is dead now. It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died?
Who died?
Tell me who died.
Ed, who'd we lose? Oh my god, how do I do it? One time I had to have Mark the Nomad tell me how to do not disturb. I think I have it. I got my do not disturb on. Ed, who died?
I got one that didn't make the list. It happened late last night.
Yes.
William Friedkin, Oscar-winning director of The Exorcist and French Connection, Connection, dead at 87. And I believe he also directed a movie that really holds up in a weird, horrible way. Is Cruising, the Al Pacino playing the gay dude.
Rent like, Boy. Yeah.
And it just, like, it's his portrayal of Cubans in Scarface is, like, super subtle compared to Cruising.
Yeah. He is, Friedkin was one of the new wave of American cinema directors, along with Coppola and Robert
French Connection
Altman.
Was cool. Like, great chase scene.
Happy.
Great chasing.
Yeah. Gene Hackman. Fantastic. Yeah. Great movie.
Popeye Doyle.
Popeye Doyle. That's it.
We also lost John Gosling, the Kinks keyboardist, 75. Now, I looked him up. I was like, Kinks are a super underrated British invasion band.
They invented distortion.
I was thinking, like, what's a keyboard song? Uh-huh. And, like, I was thinking, like, Sunny Afternoon or some cool type shit that they did.
Yeah.
He joined the band in the 70s. He's not the Kinks songs you know.
Yeah.
But, like, not to shit on his legacy, but I just did.
Well,
he's 75. He put in some time with the band, but not the time you know of the Kinks.
Is he survived by his wife, Kate, and that hairstyle that she had, and their plus their eight kids also?
That's right. Yeah. Did he go to jail?
I don't know.
There are a lot of reality stars that end up going to jail.
They do. There's a lot of, they do. I do see a lot of highlights where there's a lot of, like, housewives that have swindled. They defraud people.
It's like a weird swindling kind of universe. Yeah. That John and eight plus.
Yeah.
John and Kate plus eight.
That's right. Yeah.
They were just famous because they had eight kids because they couldn't pull out.
I think no, because that never happens. No one.
Wait, like, was this Octomom?
Yeah,
was this
eight at one
time?
No, they had. And I'm embarrassed to know this, but I do remember. The two of them, I think they had two kids, and then they got a bunch of fucking embryos implanted. Because they're crazy Pennsylvanians.
So this was like, hey, I want you to put I want you to put the final third of the movie Gremlins in my stomach. Just put all these things in me.
Yeah, yeah.
Need them to hatch.
I put two shots on goal, I scored both times. It's I went five hole.
I am not gonna I didn't use that method, but I'm not gonna shame, like,
of course not.
I love IVF for people, but, like, that's too many to put in.
So usually, and I don't know that if these people are religious, I don't know their story, but I'll speculate. Usually what happens is they put a bunch in there. They put, like, three or four in there because most don't take.
They don't put in six.
I don't think they do. I've never heard of this. But they put in some. And then if you're lucky, one takes, or occasionally two.
A set of two.
Yeah. Right. And if you're not ready for two, they'll, handle one. They'll get, that's one that you don't have to worry about that one if you don't want to. But if you got six and they all take, you're making a choice. Hey, I want six. Like, it's not an accident that you had six. You go, you know what you think? You go, I'm getting a reality show out of this. Hey, that's what I'm doing.
Let's call TLC.
Yeah,
exactly. We got something cooking in here.
Look, I'm 5'3". My wife's got this haircut. We already she's got two kids.
She's got a haircut.
Yeah.
And her uterus looks like the back of an entertainment center.
Yeah.
Just cords and shit going everywhere.
So RIP, John Goslin
and
Kate plus eight.
Yeah. This is a jarring one.
Yeah.
RIP Mark Margolis.
Yeah.
Hector Salamanca from Breaking Bad, 83 years old. He was the old Italian dude in Oz in like 99.
Yeah.
Looked 83.
They fed him the glass. They put and little bits of glass in his
crunch
food.
Up those glass in the meatballs.
Yeah, the dude
with what's his name? Chuck Zito.
Chuck Zito Mayhem, the guy from the Dean Winters.
Mayhem was I think Mayhem was the one who did it.
Yeah,
Chuck Zito was his like top lieutenant.
Yeah. Yeah, he was Mark Margolis's muscle.
What a terrifying show. I loved it, but it was terrifying.
Remember when they the great Luke Perry. Perry. God damn it.
My creature. I have CTE. Right in the wall. Right in the wall.
He was annoying. He was annoying. So it was Adebisi. Adebisi and
He put him in the put him in the wall?
He put him in the wall, and then also Adebisi and Dean Winters teamed up because they were different races, so they weren't partners, but they would partner to do bad things.
Ryan O'Reilly got shit done.
Yes, he did. He did.
His brother Cyril was a problem.
He was.
He had issues. He was the guy from How Do You Like Them Apples? That show was so terrifying. Yeah. I would show that if I thought my kids like needed to be scared straight, I would have them watch Oz. You never want to go to jail.
No, you really don't.
Like, never.
You really don't.
Then I texted you, and I was like, man, he looked 83 in Oz. And then you're like, wait, we did a movie with him.
Yeah.
Scarface. He was the old dude when they were, like, trying to bomb the car, right, or something?
Yes. And he was 43 at the time. So he just, he had to grow into his looks.
He had to grow into his octogenarian looks.
Yeah. And eventually he did. I mean, he fucking was as Hector Salamanca. He was so fucking good. Also, he's one of these guys.
He could act his balls off without saying a word.
Yeah. He's just ringing that fucking bell. And he fucking handled that Gus Fring.
Yep.
He knew what to do. He fucking
ding, motherfucker.
Yeah. He took care of business. He rang that fucking bell. He knew it was up. And interesting, he's one of these guys that always played a Hispanic or Italian, of which he's neither.
His name is Mark Margolis.
His name is Mark Margolis.
What kind of name is Margolis? It's not Jewish?
Yeah. I don't know. An American actor best known for his portrayal of Hector Salamanca in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yeah. It means pearls in Hebrew.
Yeah. Oh, so, he's in the tribe.
I think he's a member of the tribe. He definitely is not Italian.
He's Jewish. Yeah. Mark Margolis was born November 26, 1939 in Philadelphia, the son of Fania and Isidore Margolis. He was born into a Jewish family.
He was definitely circumcised.
He was cut for sure. R.I.P. The fucking guy was a great actor. Just one of those just strong character players and everything.
Brought something to every performance.
Yeah. Good for him. R.I.P. Let's talk some sports. Let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hands that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
at what is going on in the world of sports this week.
So we've done some stories about this ex-NFL linebacker, ex-Giants linebacker, Blake Martinez, who gave up the NFL to go sell Pokemon cards.
Yes.
Well, he has since been banned from something called Whatnot for allegedly scamming Pokemon collectors.
Yes. So apparently, hold on, let's read this because I don't really know. And of course,
what is Whatnot? What do you think it is? Like,
it's, I'm going to say it's like a social media or social network for cards
for,
people.
For sads.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know that you can make money doing this. But it's just, look, this is just, we get sold a bill of goods. When
don't you have a friend that, like, was interested in Magic the Gathering cards?
Oh, yeah, he told me all about it. He knew about it. This is many years ago, and he's like, these decks, if you get the right cards in your deck, you could have $1 million worth of Magic the Gathering cards. And I'm like, I just still don't understand how they couldn't print more. Like, just make more. If one is $50,000, make fucking 200 of them. Who's going to know? But I guess people know. I don't know. There's a way to know. It's beyond me. Former New York Giants linebacker Blake Martinez abruptly retired from the NFL in November of 2022. Announcement came just 1 month after he'd signed with the Raiders. Oh, that's what I was going to think. That's what I was thinking of. We don't think critically. We just hear this. And one, we don't care. But we hear the story, we go, oh, this fucking guy quit football because he's so good at Pokemon. And we're like, okay, we believe it.
He must be good at Pokemon.
Yes. Similarly, Bernard Goldberg goes to fucking Lenny Dykstra's mansion.
That's right.
That used to belong to Wayne Gretzky at Sherwood Country Club, Thousand Oaks, or whatever it is up there. And he goes in the house and he's like, hey, you don't have any fucking furniture in here. He's like, I'm too busy doing trades. I'm over here doing trades. And he's got a bunch of monitors.
And you know his technique, Bernard Goldberg, he'd say, wait, so you haven't had any financial training? And he'd be like, nope. And he goes, you haven't had any financial training?
Yeah, twice.
He always asks the same question twice to like really hammer home the point.
Yeah, but his good buddy Jim Cramer is like, this fucking guy, he can pick the stocks. And then Lenny Dykes was like, yeah, also I can't read. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah, I can't read, but I watched a lot of DVDs about how to trade stocks. And we're like, wow. Okay.
Well, that tracks.
Yeah. Fuck, man. Guy's just—he's a savant. The guy can just trade those stocks.
And then he's like in jail in a year from that.
Yeah.
Segment.
And then you find out he lied to get that mansion. He never fucking made a payment on it. He's borrowing money from everybody. He's stealing money. He's not paying his bills. He didn't know how to pick shit. He never picked a fucking stock. And then this fucking guy, Blake Martinez, comes along and he's like, I'm the fucking greatest Pokemon player of all time. And we're like, yep, you are.
He must be.
Yeah.
He must be great at it.
This is on us. This is on, we are not paying close enough of attention. We have to think more cynically here.
He's like, you know, in Royal Tenenbaums, Bill Murray's patient was at Raleigh Sinclair, where he didn't know how to put things together and he would just think he fixed the puzzle. That was it. Like Blake Martinez is Raleigh Sinclair.
That is so funny where he's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Does that one go there? Martinez later revealed that the decision came following the sale. This is what we talked about. The sale of a rare Pokemon card for more than $650,000. Now, how can that be? Somebody explain this to me. Like, I get that you got a fucking Honus Wagner, okay? Well, Honus Wagner played 120 years ago. Like, they don't, they're all lost.
There's just not, like, everything has burned or been thrown out. Yeah. And so there's, like, one or two left.
Yeah, I get that it's old. Hey, look at this shit. This shit is fucking old. It's worth a lot of money. And you go, oh, he sold this car. When was it made? 2023. Well, why is it fucking worth so much money then? I don't understand. He then dove headfirst into the hobby, amassing more than $5 million in just 7 months. Every single day when I wake up, my shoulder doesn't hurt. Oh, who gives a fuck? Let's find out how he was scamming. He opened multiple warehouses and established Blake's Breaks, an entity.
This definitely feels like the Lenny Dykstra.
100%. Like, yeah.
He must be good because he's opening warehouses.
Right. Yeah, he's got shit. An entity that employed more than 20 people and live streamed Pokemon card openings for 16 hours a day. So I know this is a thing. So it's possible that you get a pack of cards, and this is look, our dear friend Telly, this is why he illegally employs all these Walmart managers to steal the cards for him. Because there's potential that in that pack there could be one worth $5,000. And so people gamble basically. It's basically like a lottery ticket. You go, there could be a $5,000 card in that pack. I'll give you $500 for the pack, even though it's a few dollars at Target if you get there the day they come out or whatever. And then people videotape themselves opening. I think Logan Paul got in trouble for this once because he opened up a really expensive one and then just bent it in half or, like, you know, just to like go viral. So I get what they're doing, right? He's opening the cards and he's getting streams or whatever. A little under the year mark, Martinez's total sales had reportedly eclipsed $11 million. However, things took a turn for the worst on Friday when Whatnot. Oh, so this is like OfferUp. It's an app. A popular marketplace application permanently banned Blake's Breaks and all of their individual employees alleging misconduct. We have refunded all but okay. Whatnot did not provide specific details into what was discovered during their event investigation, but Pokemon YouTuber Rattle Pokemon published an 8-part series breaking down what he believed to be the scams carried out. Oh, no, look, we're not watching that. Prior to his Whatnot ban, he offered an apology. Okay, I understand the optics. He sounds like a politician. I understand how it looks. Trust me. I know the type of business I run. I know the type of decisions I made across the board. Look, he's going to be in somebody's camp. Let's see what they say. It doesn't really say what he did. Just that he's banned and some guy made a video about it. I think what he was doing is he was pretending to open the packs, but they were already open or something. And then he'd be like, look, I got another, but he already had it and he had like bought it. I don't know how that would get him so much money though. Somebody, hey, 949-464 TBLS. Somebody explain this. I'm too stupid. But what I do know is that every time somebody tells you somebody's a wunderkind in some different kind of business, especially if that guy's a fucking dumb shit athlete, it's likely that you're being fed a bill of goods. Let's try to remember that.
Never forget.
Never forget. Lenny Dykstra.
The Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
They invited TikTok creator Kiara Lewis to a playoff game after she made explicit videos objectifying Kraken player Alex Weinberg.
Yes.
Weinberg.
Yeah.
After the backlash, people like, this is really inappropriate shit. They removed the content.
So it's weird because you're like,
you're courting that buzz. You're courting like stuff.
But
it's inappropriate. The video, it's weird that they really wanted this kind of buzz.
Yeah, it looks like they might have taken the video off because the video was on the story before.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, I'm not offended by it because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But it pushed it that, like, it was a chick who was like, hey, Alex, nice slap shot. I hope you could slap one up my ass. Like, it was like crazy over the top.
It was so much more raw and disgusting than you, like, it doesn't offend me, but it's weird that a team would embrace this.
It's giving us buzz.
Yeah, they brought her to a game and she's like, you blew the back of the net out. Why don't you blow my asshole out later tonight? And I'm like,
whoa.
I mean, I get that you're trying to get clicks here, but this seems like a lot. And then eventually the player was kind of uncomfortable with it where they're like, hey,
he's like, this is weird. Yeah. She's like, she's like, Hey, would you mind fucking my feet? Like what?
So, I mean, she's, I guess they're not doing this anymore, but it's just a weird decision in the first place to sort of elevate this woman.
Yeah, it's a shame the links have been removed.
I know.
It was an over the top.
I know, they were good. Ours were better, obviously.
Josh Allen. Yeah, we were better at this. Yeah. We should sexually harass more Kraken players.
Yeah.
Josh Allen accused Aaron Rodgers of cheating to win the Pebble Beach Pro-Am golf tournament.
That doesn't sound like our Aaron Rodgers.
And he jokes that he should be put in jail. Yeah.
Well, that is pretty serious.
He said everybody knows. And then he joked that he should be in jail. But clearly he's annoyed by it.
Yeah, he is. And also, what's up with Aaron Rodgers' helmet? He looks like the Great Gazoo.
Yeah, and
he's got a weird helmet. He doesn't wear the same one as the rest of the guys. It's kind of weird.
So the Jets drafted pretty well, and it was the missing piece was the quarterback.
Yeah.
So for a guy that the Green Bay media was a little too much for him.
Yeah,
buddy. You better be hitting the ground running with the Jets.
And he had a bad year last year, right? He was the MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah. He was underwhelming last year.
Yeah.
But the Jets, if they get good quarterback play, they're going to be in the playoffs. Yeah. So if they don't make the playoffs, it's all on Rodgers. Yeah. He's not going to enjoy the spotlight.
So it looks like he sandbags his handicap is what's going on. He may have gotten 7 or 8 strokes too many at Pebble Beach, or 9, Allen alleged, before clarifying. Not from me. That's what other sources are saying. I'm not saying that. So he's hearing things. He's hearing things that he sandbags his handicap, and that just makes him a real piece of shit. Also, you're not supposed to be able to sandbag your handicap because you're supposed... Look, I don't have a handicap. I'm not a golfer. But these guys, you're supposed to put your scores in, and it's just, it's supposed to be based on what you actually shoot. You shouldn't be able to just tell them what your handicap is. But I guess you can not put your scores in when they're bad. Here's something I saw this week that I was stunned by. Josh Allen is a pretty fucking good football player from my Wyoming Cowboys.
I believe
Cowboys.
He's a brick shithouse, too. He's a big dude.
He's a big dude that runs really fucking fast and will put his head down and run you over. I saw this week his girlfriend is Haley Steinfeld.
Oh, from True Grit.
From True Grit. And I'm like, oh my God, he's dating the little girl from True Grit. She's a child. This is illegal. And then I realize she's actually an adult now. That movie's
12 years ago.
Yeah. So it's actually okay. It's a great movie. It's actually okay that he's dating her. I've checked. She is an adult about his age. So they're good.
Good.
Yeah.
Iowa State quarterback Hunter Deckers involved his parents in an alleged gambling scandal. He's facing some heat from the feds.
Oh, was he shaving points?
Something, but he had his parents dropping bets. 366 online bets worth $2,800.
Oh, well, because he's not allowed to bet.
Right, but they were on Iowa State games and
Right. Oh, yeah, you can't do that. You got to bet other games,
and
dude.
And Scott and Jamie Deckers, his parents, Jamie spelled J-A-M-I.
Ooh. Troubling.
They were trying to conceal his gambling and made it appear that they were making the bets.
That's not a
Mom
good...
Mom and dad are dumb.
You're not doing a good job as a parent. If you're hey, let me help you. Because if you're gambling like that and you're in college, you might have a problem gambling. It seems like you really need to gamble.
And also, I get it. Iowa State is not Alabama. But $2,800? Even Ames, Iowa, you can come up with a car dealer who will give you $3,000.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You do a commercial for the local watering hole. And you got the money, you're good to go. And he's the quarterback in Ames, Iowa.
I think Jamie with an I is very stupid.
Yeah, it seems that way. Absolutely.
Colin Coward.
Yeah.
Doesn't think Dwayne Haskins has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Apparently he was listing today all of the quarterbacks he thinks has no chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
I get it. Guy had a rough start to his career, but why are you counting a guy out?
It's
that soon.
It's true.
What is he, mid-20s, late-20s? Surely you can't count him out yet.
I mean, I would say yes. You wouldn't be able to count him out.
I knew it wasn't going to work out for the Redskins or Washington football team when he was a quarterback.
Right.
But I figured, like, his next stop, it'll, you know, he could turn it around.
Well, Ed, I don't believe he's currently on an NFL roster. And not like in the sense that Carson Wentz isn't on an NFL roster, but I think Dwayne Haskins, sadly, is on God's roster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's passed, which apparently,
well, Colin, a bold take by the great Colin Coward, who's full of bold takes.
He's Colin Coward. I don't listen to him. Our dear friend Jason Stewart, I believe, used to work for him. But when I have heard him, he'll do a thing where he'll be like, Aaron Rodgers, he's just not that good. He's just not that good. And then he'll cherry pick some stupid stat. You probably don't know this. He's 1 for 28 in the fourth quarter in the red zone. And he'll just like come in, like throw something. And you're like, well, the fucking guy threw for almost 50 touchdowns this year. Maybe he's the MVP of the league. What do you mean?
I one time had to, move some furniture, and so I used like a rental truck that only had radio, and so like I couldn't choose what I was doing. I put on Colin Coward, and he'll say shit like, this was, you know, 6-7 years ago, and he'd be like, you mean to tell me Tom Brady is not a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No one's like, saying that.
I'm pretty sure nobody said that. You mean to tell me this guy isn't even worthy of making the Pro Bowl? And you're like, I'm pretty sure nobody said that.
Yeah.
He's just fighting. He's fighting that argument. Loves the argument against nobody.
I'll tell you, you know, a lot of people aren't going to say it. The Hawaii Rainbows are not a top 10 program. They're just, they're not going to be there.
I really don't think Hawaii should be anything more than a double digit underdog against Alabama. You're like, oh, okay.
Right? He's here. Here's him talking about.
And then the third category is 20 guys who are not getting to a Super Bowl and certainly not winning it.
So now hold on. 20 guys. By my count, there's only 32 teams. So it's what he's gonna just list starting quarterbacks, right? Because you wouldn't be like, hey, you know who's not getting to a Super Bowl this year? Chase Daniel. I don't see Chase Daniel carrying the cheat, whatever team he's on, to this. Like, he doesn't play. Why would Dwayne Haskins, who is dead, besides the fact that he's dead, be on the list?
Right. Besides the fact that he got hit by a car 18 months ago.
And that's everybody else. From Baker Mayfield, Teddy Bridgewater, Dwayne Haskins.
None of these guys are starters. Starters.
Yeah, that it says can win Super Bowls. It can't.
Oh, these are all guys.
So even his graphic is bad.
Yeah, these are all guys that were high draft picks that he's saying can't win Super Bowls. Like E.J. Manuel. He's not even in the NFL anymore, is he?
Right. Is he going to?
Mitch Trubisky. What is this list? Josh Rosen. Kenny Pickett.
Chris Wanky. Jeff George.
Roman Gabriel is not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Bubby Brister has no chance this year.
And of course, this Colin Coward, he's got a new hairpiece. And so he's got, just real fluffy on top of his head. And now after ESPN fired everybody that worked there a couple months ago, now there's supposedly a bidding war. They really want Colin Coward back. So, I mean, good for him, I guess. It's not really my type of entertainment, but somebody must like it. Good for them.
The question has been posed. Are Patrick and Brittany Mahomes swingers?
So this is a rumor that came out this week. Apparently, hold on, let me get the link to open. She has some type of tattoo that might signal swingerism.
It would make sense because of what I told you. I watched it. Oh, and by the way, I after we did the show last week, and I was telling you, like, I watched some of quarterback, and you cut out as you're talking to me, and I thought you said, is Brittany Mahomes' cousin attractive? And I was like, I haven't gotten that far. Oh, and then I realized you must have been talking about Kirk Cousins. Yes, yeah, his wife is attractive. Yeah. They're like, they're super into Jesus, but yeah. Like, yeah, he did well. She's very attractive.
Yeah, they bone through a sheet, but that's okay.
Brittany?
She's
worse. Yeah. Personality, maybe her personality is spoiling it too much, but like, she would have to look like Margot Robbie to put up with her nonsense.
No, I agree. Brittany Mahomes' foot tattoo sparked major speculation about an open marriage with NFL superstar Patrick Mahomes. A photo of Patrick Mahomes' wife, Brittany, with an alleged polygamy tattoo.
What is
polygamy? Polygamy means you're married to more than one person.
So is it like a Mormon thing? Tattoo.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Conspiracy theorists had a field day with the revelation.
Just a lot of swirls. There's like all kinds of swirls.
See, everything means something to someone. You know, you can't, because it could mean one thing to you. It means something different.
It looks like a heart with an upside down heart with the infinity symbol on top of it. So it's just like swirls everywhere.
So it's just ugly. It's like,
and there's
her,
a diamond like the in the middle. Yeah. It's not good.
Brittany Mahomes often receives a lot of unfair criticism and ridicule online.
Unfair?
Huh?
Who wrote this?
Very fair. I don't know. This is like one of those Indian.
The most fair.
Yeah. Rumors have been swirling. Well, how come there's no picture? Oh, you saw it already.
Well, I just Googled polygamy tattoo, but I didn't see her polygamy.
Yeah. And also, like, foot tattoos, you know? Ladies, let's not be tattooing our feet, okay?
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dear.
I might know a lady with a foot tattoo.
Well, it was college, you know? They do stuff. I mean, I might know a guy that has the Rolling Stones lips tattooed on his foot. What up, Eric? Like, it happens. Wow. People do things. People do things.
Have some pride, buddy.
Okay, let's do some emails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits.
Couple of voicemail. Let's hear from the listeners.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Dave in Salt Lake.
For work.
David.
You all like to say David Bray. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's out there.
Well, no, I wasn't the first one to say your name on the show, David Bray. Also, your name is spelled so weird, no one's ever going to find you. We'll just call you Dave in Salt Lake. We're not going to say which airline you work for at the gate.
Revealed that,
no,
has he?
Has he? Yeah,
I was going to say, that's a bad idea. No. Yeah, has he?
I think so. I don't know. I know it. Yeah. I don't know how I would know it if it wasn't for the show.
Salt Lake for work. Hey, I'm glad you guys agree. I'm the pilot. Has the easiest job because they fucking do glorified bus drivers. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, you guys are a great segment on that Tom Brady is going to be a lame-ass broadcaster, because as much as I love him, because he played for my Buccaneers for a couple of years, he's going to be awful. Yeah. But who do you think would be worse, Antonio Brown or Tom Brady? Who would be a worse announcer for the NFL, Tom Brady or Antonio Brown? Also, great show, Justified Primeval. Ed, you and I talked about it. Brian, I don't think you watched it.
But,
great show.
I didn't watch the original
Oppenheimer yet.
I didn't watch the original Justified, and that
Justified's great.
Walton Goggins on it, right? Like,
yes, he was amazing on it too. Great show.
Yeah,
I haven't watched Primeval. I exchanged messages with David about the show coming out. I think it's on Hulu or something, or like FX, whatever. But
sure,
I will check it out. But it is good. Anyone who hasn't seen Justified, go check it out.
But going to see it tonight. Also, guys.
Hold on. Before he moves on, who would be a better broadcaster, Tom Brady or Antonio Brown?
Oh, Brown would be amazing. He would probably try to kill his partner inside of a week.
Yeah.
But like, there's unpredictability to what he's doing. Tom Brady, predictably dull.
He'll say nothing. Tom Brady will say nothing. Antonio Brown will, in the third quarter, if the game's not going well,
take off his clothes and run on the field.
Yeah, he'll just whip out his dick and start like swinging it around the booth. You know what you do?
Yeah, he'll go helicopter.
Yeah, here's what you do. You get Antonio Brown. He's in the booth. You know, he's got the headset on. He's working. But you also remember a while ago when that that guy at Dodger Stadium got his bell rung when he jumped on the jumped down into center field to propose to his lady, and the security guard
perfect him.
Yeah, he perfect him. And I was like, this is the perfect job for Vontaze Burfict, because if you knew you jumped on the field, that Vontaze Burfict might pop out of somewhere and dehead you in the middle of the field.
Somebody left the tiger cage open.
Yeah, it's like he's allowed, you know? It's like, hey, you're trespassing. We get to tackle you. You might have a bomb or something. We don't know. We got to send Vontaze out there. I was saying, Vontaze needs a job. We get him a job as a security guard. It's a win-win. What if we get Antonio Brown, and he's in the booth calling the game, and Vontaze is just like, he's there to make sure nothing goes wrong, and say Antonio Brown whips out his dick and starts swinging it around like he did at that hotel in Dubai. Tez immediately blasts through the booth and lights him up. And then he's fixed he's knocks his brain back into place, and then he can sit down and do the rest of the game. It's like a 2-for-1. They both need jobs. Then we get Antonio Brown calling the game, and we get Vontaze Burfict, who's kind of like his handler, keeps him in line.
You're saying a nice hit could unscramble his brain.
Yeah, it scrambles and re-scrambles. It's, you know, it's like hitting the top of the TV back in the day, or the Nintendo.
Remember,
you whack the sides of the Nintendo.
And
you know, then,
karate chop.
Yeah, you get it. You're getting kind of mad, you know, and you're whacking the sides, and then you hit it, and it kind of fixes. But then you don't realize it's fixed, so you whack it again, and it's fucked up again. That's exactly the same premise with Vontaze Burfict and his brain scramblings. Something to think about.
Kennard in Kansas. I forgot about that guy. I had a similar, and I apologize
for the
words I used. I had a similar experience back in college.
Oh.
My last year there. Mm-hmm. This girl was gorgeous. Gorgeous. I had met her at a wedding, and anyway.
Yeah.
Long story short, she was super hot, and we got a room at the Marriott.
Oh.
Woke up the next morning, and she was gone. Very disappointed.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no.
And even worse, there was like a foot-long green trail down the toilet left.
Whoa.
You know? So I'm like, what the fuck?
Whoa. I got a text in the middle of that. What's he talking about? He's
talking about bacon strips.
No. Oh, David in Salt Lake for work, whose last name will no longer be said, buddy.
I still was like Kennard.
Yeah.
I pursued her, but did not find her. I was willing to let that go, as awful as that was, because she was just too freaking hot, but I guess she was just too embarrassed, you know?
Well,
some things you just can't let, you know?
Or she wasn't.
Can't let go. You know,
moved
some
on.
You can, some you can't. I was willing to let that one go.
Okay.
But apparently she was too embarrassed.
Okay.
Or she didn't like me. But anyway, guys, it's great to have Ed back. And take care, fellas. Be in touch.
Okay.
Bye.
Great to be back.
Thanks, yes. Let's not make this show a open forum.
Scatological.
Yeah, an open forum for people you know that have taken horrendous shits in your presence. Like, I get that we brought up the Dave Matthews thing here, okay? Like, that we've discussed.
That's on
it.
Dave Matthews.
And it's a historical incident, okay? Kennard and David Bray getting drunk at a wedding and, you know, her blowing it out in the morning. That's, look, that's neither here nor there. You know, right. That kind of stuff happens. People are drinking that cheap champagne. Who knows? You know, and that served food at these weddings, you know, they have that chicken Alfredo and it sits out for quite a while. You know, and then you get a little drunk. You go back for a second plate before they're right. taking the food away.
Sure.
You know,
you get a low rent wedding serving the tilapia.
Yes. Oh God, stay away from the. I went to a wedding one time, and I got the fish, and it was a mistake. I put my fork into that fish, and the whole middle of the fish was still frozen, just a frozen ass piece of fish. And I was like, that's the last time. You go for the safest fucking thing you can. Just eat the potatoes, all right? Or eat before you go, because, you know, you're not there for the food anyway. Or you get full up on those chicken satay skewers that they pass around.
Listen.
Yeah.
It's low class, but everyone likes the pigs in blankets.
Oh, delicious. Of course. Bring those right. around. Yes.
There was a wedding. My buddy, he had apple wrapped in bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was delicious.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And if a few of us got right by where the kitchen entered, and then like late in the evening, my buddy's like, I'm so pissed off. We ordered apple wrapped in bacon and they never came out. And we're like, oh, I had like 30 of them.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that. We're like, you're like, hey, see, let's go post up by the door over there and we'll just get them as they come out.
Yeah.
No, that's the move. That's absolutely the move. Okay. Thank you for that. I guess, David, I kind of missed it because my kids were texting me and I try to be professional here, but there's a lot going on in their world and they want to let me know about it. Okay. Here's another voicemail.
Hey, ballers. Hope all is well.
How's everybody? Fan.
Got a question for you.
Fan. Yeah.
Basically, been Jace doing this book. Just started. Actually, just got done Jace doing the book, and then Jace doing a new one.
He's Jace doing it?
He's Jace doing a book.
He's consuming a book with his ears?
Well, I mean, Jace Stu would say he read a book. Jace Stu goes, oh, I read a book. And by read a book, Jace Stu means... he listened to a podcast of the book, but he'll tell you that he read it, which is, he doesn't see a distinction. To me, there's a clear distinction. It is not the same thing to listen to a book versus read it. There's a higher.
Yeah, you just say, I listened to a book. I've listened to books.
Yeah. I got the book on tape. No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's stolen valor when you say you read some shit, you know, you didn't read that shit. You listened to it.
Right.
And started listening to it, and it's one of those where the author reads it to you, or Jay stews it to you, excuse me. I don't want to disrespect his version of reading.
Right.
But anyways, the dude started speaking, and he had a Bostonian accent.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Almost made me jump out of my truck. So my question, I guess, is should there be some kind of
warning,
something to disclaimer to let you know that you're about to listen to somebody with a Bostonian accent for 8 to 10 hours. Cause had I known that, I would have never got the fucking book.
That's true.
Anyways, I'll listen and learn. Thanks. Bye.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah.
There's a strong accent.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have any strong accent if you're listening to a book.
Yeah. If you know, we live in the age of where right or wrong, lots of people are triggered by lots of things. So we have to have, you know, the quiet room is on the third floor because people are, you know, they can't be exposed to loud noises. And there's lots of things.
Yeah.
How, if you're going to Jace do a book, what if you go to listen to a book and somebody's got that mid-Atlantic accent?
Unacceptable.
With the water in the... over there, you going over there? Like fuck. Yeah. I'm listening to that for 10 hours.
Take Tuesday off.
Yes. Yeah. Tuesday. Yes. Like that should be on the, in the notes the disclaimer. Hey, by the way, you're going to have to listen to somebody that sounds like they're from the fucking Philadelphia area speaking, or God forbid the Wisconsin Chicago accent. You know, you're going to hear that for fucking 9 hours. I don't think so. And hey, maybe you're fine with it, but at least they should let you know, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Thank you for that, Fan. Couple emails to get through here. Hi, Brian. Quote, Ed, if a 5'5 person needs a squatty potty, would they order an extra large or extra small squatty potty? Thank you for your guidance. That's from Greg. Look, this is not one. Is that still a thing? And also, I can't believe I just got tricked into saying that, the name of that item.
So,
I'm gonna tell you a great shame. Somebody in my life heard that Howard Stern was advocating it,
of course,
and they got it for me, and I rejected it and said, "I don't need fucking props to do this." Yeah. Like, I've done it once a day for many years. I don't need props. I don't know who is going through this that they need props, but I do not need props for that aspect of my life.
Also, I don't want to walk into somebody's bathroom. And look, you know what happens in a bathroom. It's especially after David in Salt Lake for work calls your podcast and describes it. Like, you know what happens in a bathroom. I don't want to walk into a bathroom and see an extra bacteria collector in there. Like, I get that it's a room where, you know, things are expelled. But you put another piece of furniture in there, that's just catching whatever's around there. That's just one more thing that you need to avoid. Right. So, look, you get a lazy boy.
It's enough.
You want to do it Vietnamese prison camp style? It's none of my business. This is not my business, Greg, in your unfortunate emails to the show. We're not the clearinghouse for how people go to the bathroom around here. This is not that kind of show. We're not going to talk about that stuff.
No, we're not down with that.
No. Hi, ballers. I got my yearly physical the other day and it brought up something that I have nobody else to talk to about. Does anybody actually admit how much they actually drink on those pre-physical questionnaires, let alone when they actually talk to the doctor?
It just feels bad. It feels bad.
They know, but they know. I cut my real number in half for all the answers and was still hitting the over on most of the questions. The one that really got me was, how many times in the last year have you consumed more than 6 drinks on one occasion? There was not an option to answer. I have no idea, because there are many occasions that I have more than 6 drinks. I ended up putting 8 times. I do feel like there's a silver lining in this. Whenever there are studies that link alcohol consumption to the age that you die, they probably rely on people admitting to what they actually drink. If a study is titled, "People who drink 6 or more drinks a week are likely to die by 57, then it is actually people that are drinking like 6 drinks a day that die by 57. Am I on to something here? I have also been meaning to email y'all about the movie Cobra. But I drink a lot, so I am forgetful. The movie scared the shit out of me when I was 10 years old. The bad guy was pretty scary. He had that big knife. Something about the guy with the spiked brass knuckle knife thing. Custom handmade D2 steel blade Cobra knife survival camping Etsy gave me nightmares. The nightmares were so bad I used to sneak into my parents' room in the middle of the night to sleep under a bench they had at the end of their bed. You know that your dad was bending your mom over that bench, right? Like, that's why they had it in there. So they could do face down, ass up, stand up. You know that's what was happening, right? The nightmares were so bad that I used to sneak in. Oh, yeah, I already read that. I just realized as I was typing that that I am glad they were in a loveless marriage, or I might have had a whole different kind of trauma to deal with. That's from Adam in Houston. Yeah, that is. I mean, everybody lies, right? About the drinking.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Unless they barely drink. And so we're like, I have 2 a week. Like, those are the people who are telling the truth.
No, nobody has 2 a week, though. That means you have 0 a week. It goes. Why even have 2? What, 2?
I can see some people are like, just will have like a glass of wine.
Who are those people?
One or, It's not me, but I could see it. I can see it. Of course. For sure.
Well, because I do that thing. Because I don't. I'm not a daily drinker, but I'm definitely a weekend drinker. And so then they're like, oh, you know, the doctor's like, oh, you know, do you drink when you drink? And I'm like, oh, on the weekends. And they're like, you know, how many? And I'll be like, oh, you know, three or four. And I actually believe that when I say it, because I'm like, yeah, I have three or four drinks on a Friday or whatever. And then I do the math in my head and I'm like, wait, I meet Darb in the OC at the pizza place on the corner and I have four IPAs there. Then I come home and do the stereo after show with our dear friend Dolomite D, and I have like three bourbons while I'm doing that. And then I finish that, and then I sit down and watch a ball game or a UFC with my girlfriend on the couch, and I have a couple more bourbons after that. So I really do believe that I'm having three or four drinks. The thing is, you don't really count the three or four that you have after work at the bar with Darb in the OC, right? That's not part of the total.
Yeah, they don't count.
It's the total is the ones you have when you walk in to your own home, right?
I remember saying to my doctor, I don't know, 10 years ago, yeah. I said, I don't drink all the time, but when I do, I drink more than I should. And he goes, that's everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, same. That's right. That's what I told my doctor. I go, ah, man, I do so good during the week. And I just, you know, on the weekend, I start drinking, I have ice cream and shit. And he's like, yeah, that's everybody. Everybody does that. He's like, just try to do a little bit less.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, P.S. I am watching the Netflix quarterback show and these guys are all fucking dorks. I thought quarterbacks were supposed to be cool. Pat Mahomes says dog way too much.
Yeah, he does.
Adam.
He does.
Adam's a new top emailer on the show. Intro. Bri Bex and quote Ed. In the mid 80s, Tom Cruise, age 23, dated Cher, age 39. They met at Sean Penn's Malibu wedding. You're not going to say that was to Madonna? Sean Penn and Madonna? I mean, that's a pretty big detail to leave out. And bonded over their dyslexia. Anywho, she stated that he was an incredible lover, ranking him in her top five.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, hold on.
That seems like a fame-chasing statement.
Look, if he jumps out of an airplane in a Mission Impossible movie, he goes and studies with the paratroopers and learns how to be a fucking actual skydiver, and then he becomes the best at it. He fucking pilots the actual jets and shit, Ed. You think he's not going to practice on being good at fucking?
Woo!
Yeah. How do you like that, Cher? I found the clip. Woo! Yeah! I rubbed it till you made the noise.
Did it.
Woo! Ha! Want to go again? I'm sure there are... Oh, who on her long list do you think ranks above Tom Cruise? I'm sure there are dozens more, but these are her publicly known relationships. Warren Beatty, he fucked everybody. 1960s, briefly dated when she was 16 years old.
Oh, no.
That was allowed back then, Ed.
It was allowed back then, and I have always heard he's a gifted lover.
Oh, yeah, Warren Beatty. Yeah. I mean, he did all the work.
Yep.
Back in the day. I mean, he just, we're a little young, but he was such a fucking big star, much bigger star than any of the people that we consider to be big stars. He was like, he was the biggest actor in the world. He was a huge director. He was producing the movies. Like, he was fucking Hollywood.
Coxman.
Yeah, and he was fucking everybody. Like, they were lined up to fuck Warren Beatty.
Yep.
Sonny Bono, 60s and 70s, Cher's first husband and former singing partner.
Nah.
David Geffen. Well, he's gay. 1970s.
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely, no.
Yeah. Greg Allman, 1970s yes. musician, of course, that beautiful hair. Gene Simmons, 1970s musician, no. And he left her for Diana Ross.
What?
This is the guy right here. Rob Camoletti, 1980s bagel baker, an aspiring actor, 18 years younger than Cher.
How's that guy land Cher?
Exactly. And this is right after she won the Academy Award. She was a huge star, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, she's just fucking this like kid from New York. Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder what he was doing that made her want to stay with him. He was fucking the shit out of her. My guess is this guy can fuck if he pulled down Cher in the late 80s. New Jersey's own Ed Richie Sambora, 1980s guitarist for Bon Jovi. Josh Donnan, not familiar. Val Kilmer, of course. Rob Zimmerman, don't know him. Hell's Angels, Tim Medvedz.
Anytime you go with the regular dude.
Yeah.
That guy's bringing a different level of energy.
Eric Stoltz, actor. Ron Duguay, former NHL player. I feel like NHL players, because they're all kind of like mentally challenged, feel like a lot of times, because they're more primal, they're better at sex. So like they're athletes, but also they're not thinking about it a lot. They're just reacting and you know, they gotta have fast reaction times. They gotta get in front of the net.
They see the puck in the crease. They just gotta go.
Redirect. I'm going to redirect it into Cher's pussy. Like this is what these guys did. So I feel like he would be pretty good. Alexander A.E. Edwards, music executive, 40 years younger than her. Now that's just a.
Yeah, I'm not feeling with this dude. No.
I got to say that Camilletti guy's the top. There's no way Gene Simmons is good at sex.
Camilletti, I think Greg Allman's up there.
Yeah. Beatty, the hockey guy.
Jesus, Beatty with the 16-year-old buddy.
Yeah. Val Kilmer, I mean, he's very beautiful. And I could see him being very tender. You know, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
I'd give it to him.
Yeah, I could see the Iceman. Yeah. Yeah. Iceman giving it.
Okay, thank you for that discussion. Now, who do you think were Cher's loudest comers?
Who's that loud comer? Coming all over.
I mean, there's a couple.
It's Gene Simmons.
Yeah, it's got to be Gene Simmons, or don't sleep on Sonny Bono. You know, he was 5'5". He could sing, you know, he had that kind of bowl cut back in the day. He wore like a fur jacket. I'm going to go with Sonny Bono as just, you know, a lot of times little people are just more expressive on purpose.
I got goo, babe.
Yeah. okay, thank you for that discussion. Oh no. Reminder to Matt Lauer, you don't know the history of psychiatry. I do. I mean, I don't want to compliment Scientology, obviously, but Tom Cruise was kind of right in that situation that there were over prescribing medications that they've since learned are not that effective.
The discussion about psychiatry had to do with his criticism of Brooke Shields.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
saying
she
had postpartum depression because he goes, that's not a thing.
All right.
And it's okay, buddy.
Yeah, you can't.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah, you can't say that someone's situation isn't their situation. Right. You're right about that. Keep up this heroic work. Outro, that's from Toe Cutter. Hashtag Team Loudcomer. Hashtag tag Rip Harambe. Hashtag Rip Pee Wee Herman. And that is the end of the emails. Let's talk some non-sports. Whoa.
Well, it's time for non-sports. Non-sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports.
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 Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports.
Non-sports.
Non-sports segment.
What is going on in the world of non-sports? Things that are not, in fact, sports, Ed.
Chris Christie gifted Zelensky the handwritten lyrics to Bon Jovi's It's My Life as inspiration for Ukraine's fight against the Russians.
I mean, it's kind of a banger. It's like,
no, it's not.
Yeah, it's no, I'm hearing it in my head right now. It's my life. it's now or never.
Show this to the Russians so they can die of douche chills.
Also, that feels like not good. That feels like it was penned by Diane Warren. Let's look this up. Bon Jovi. This is a total guess. Bon Jovi. Ed's neighbor. It's my life. Songwriter. It's my life. Song. I would almost guarantee this is a song written by Diane Warren. Let's see.
Well, I heard Stern talking to Bon Jovi, and he talked about that he consulted his wife on writing this.
Dorothea?
Song. Yeah.
Yes. Well, okay. So I'm wrong. It's not Diane Warren, but it is the music Svengali producer Max Martin, the Swedish hitmaker, is involved. It was a co-writer along with John Bon Jovi and, of course, Richie Sambora and his beautiful bangs. I would be honored to receive such a gift from the great Chris Christie. I would frame these beautiful lyrics. I would hang them on a wall. I think that's a nice gift.
These poor people are over there rationing their food, and Chris Christie's going to go over there and graze and eat whatever they got left.
Wait, he didn't go there. I assume Zelensky, they met somewhere where Zelensky was being handed checks.
I think he went there.
He did? Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Bigger and not smaller, broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Us conundrums, my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.